This is Pastor Emery. In our study of Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18, I have identified Red Communism as part of that world ruling system. At the time of this broadcast, communists are killing tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan and have driven upwards of 1 million from their homes. Communists in Vietnam and Cambodia have killed upwards of 2 million human beings in the last 4 years. In Latin America, communist forces have taken over Nicaragua and are executing Christians and other opponents to communism. In Costa Rica and Guatemala, communist guerrillas are assassinating the nation's leaders in preparation for a takeover there. While all of this is going on, the United Nations takes no action against any communist government, and grain and highly sophisticated computers and industrial machines continue to be sent to communist Russia from America. Who orders such things to happen? Is there a secret, mystery world government now in operation? Paul wrote to Christian believers in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Here is his answer. "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" John tells us in 1 John 3:4 that sin is transgression of the law. As we continue our Bible study on what is Mystery Babylon, we find in chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation that she is being destroyed by the wrath of God because of her sin. In other words, because of her transgressions of God's laws. Christians are told throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels and in the Epistles, that they are to obey God's laws, they are not to transgress them, they are not to sin. Although many teach that Jesus Christ, the author of the Christian faith, put away God's laws, the Bible teaches the exact opposite. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that he had not come to destroy the law. And Paul wrote in Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." That, of course, makes sense in the light of Revelation 17 and 18, for there Mystery Babylon is revealed as a great, anti-God, world-ruling system which fights against and kills Christians. If faith in Jesus Christ establishes God's law, then it makes reasonable sense that that world entity known as Mystery Babylon the Great would not only war against God's law, but would war against the Christians, the faithful in Christ who uphold God's law. In fact, Revelation 17 tells us that the scarlet woman on the red beast was actually drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. In Revelation 18 and verse 4, God gives the call to his people to come out of her. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." In other words, that you Christians be not partakers of Babylon's transgressions of God's laws, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Verse 5, "For her sins," or her transgressions of God's law, "have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Last week I went into quite some detail to show that the Epistle to the Galatians, which is so widely used today to teach that we are no longer under God's law, is actually an exhortation by Paul to the Christians not to practice the law of physical circumcision. He was not writing about the whole law. He mentioned circumcision 5 times in that letter, and any Bible student should easily see that that is what he is writing about. But a great percentage of the ministers still quote Galatians as if Paul was teaching that the whole law was put away. Revelation 18, the destruction of mystery, Babylon the Great. In verse 2, the angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the Great is fallen." Then in verse 4 and 5, another voice is heard out of heaven, saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. These verses are quite often quoted by preachers and religious writers today to warn Christians of joining or partaking in what they call false religions. One denominational minister will use this phrase to tell people to come out of another denomination. Or men who call themselves non-denominational will tell you that all denominational churches are daughters of the harlot mother, Mystery Babylon. One fast-growing religious group in America insists that every church group which does not belong to their church group is in Babylon, and that you can come out of Babylon by forsaking all other churches and joining theirs, and on and on. But, as I have attempted to point out in this study, Mystery Babylon the Great is more economic than religious. That should be obvious to anyone who reads and makes himself familiar with these two chapters. In the last verse of chapter 17, the angel tells John that Mystery Babylon the Great is, quote, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And then in verse 3 of Revelation 18 it says, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In verse 15, as Babylon the Great is burned up and destroyed, it says, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. In verse 19 is the phrase, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea. All of these phrases, coupled with similar ones in the books of the prophets, give every indication that Mystery Babylon is a system of economic, money, and trade control operating in every nation of the world. People often send me things in the mail, as you would suspect, books, tracts, magazines, newsletters, and so on, more than I ever get time to read. And many have, from time to time, sent me articles about the Catholic Church, articles which state that the Catholic Church is the wealthiest religious entity in the world, that the Catholic Church owns this, and owns that, and on, and therefore, the Catholic Church is the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 17 and 18. Well, the Rockefeller family of New York is not Catholic as far as I know, and I suspect that they could buy up every piece of property owned by the Catholic Church in America and still have enough money left to buy up one or two Protestant denominations. And they are but one family of world traders. The Rothschilds of Europe are not Catholics, and someone wrote a book about the Rothschilds a few years ago in which he estimated their wealth and came up with the startling information that a child born to a Rothschild family in Europe, if he could get his inheritance in cash, would immediately be worth $100 million. Members of the Rothschild banking family of Europe have personal incomes in excess of $6 million per year. In other words, they could spend for their own personal desires $500,000 per month, $16,000 per day, and get richer. Jackie Kennedy, an American who married shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis, was spending, according to news magazines, in excess of $1 million per month for her personal expenses, and she didn't make a dent in her husband's shipping fortune. Several hundred multi-billionaire families control, through their thousands of corporations and whole governments of smaller nations, most of the wealth and trade of the world, and not one minister in 10,000 ever mentions economic plunder and economic control of the people and nations and the earth. Several months ago, a Dr. Ronald E. Mueller, co-author of the book Global Reach, was here in Phoenix speaking to students at the American Graduate School of International Management. The newspaper reported his speech in this manner, quote, "Global corporations, huge transnational conglomerate organizations, controlled 70% of the world's private business in 1973, Mueller said. The giant firms threaten the sovereignty of the nation states that they transcend by evading or influencing their powers to tax and to control their own money supplies," he told the audience of about 200 persons. "Because of their ability to plan on a worldwide scale from a central point, their power outstrips the basically national abilities of governments and labor unions," he asserted, end of quote. He said much more, but boiling it all down and putting it in layman's language, what he said was, multi-billion dollar, multinational corporations control the trade of the world, and they control governments and nations. Isn't it strange how so many ministers can read Revelation 17 and 18 and live in this age when multinational and world trade and banking organizations are owned and controlled by a literal handful of people with so much wealth at their disposal that the average American cannot even imagine it, and yet the ministers never seem to suspect that they might have some connection with what God's angel told John would be happening in these last days. The angel told John, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth or ruleth over the kings of the earth." The wealth controlled by these multinational giants and their control over whole nations of the world makes the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church pale into insignificance by comparison, and few there are who oppose or expose it. In the 10th chapter of Isaiah is a prophecy of just such an economic power which would rise to control the earth. God puts words in the mouth of this great world power, and we hear it saying in verse 13 of Isaiah 10, "By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped." There is much, much more in Isaiah 10, which I'll not take time to go into on this radio study. I have a sermon on that chapter available on cassette tape, which you might like to have, for it also is a parallel prophecy of Revelation 17 and 18. The title of that is Isaiah 10, The Destruction of Prophetic Assyria, subtitled The End of the Money Power in America. It, like other cassette Bible studies, is available for a gift of $2.50 to this ministry. The address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That cassette tape is titled Isaiah 10, The Destruction of Prophetic Assyria. I do agree that false religions are a part of the secret world control apparatus called Mystery Babylon the Great in Revelation 17, but they are really more of a tool of the controllers than a major part of Mystery Babylon. The actual world control apparatus uses false religions to pacify and keep the people from revolting against Babylon's plunder and robbery. False religions teach the people that the world is not really their home, that the world is just a place where they must work and suffer and finally die, but that their real reward is beyond the grave, after they die. Therefore, why try to make the world a better place now? This kind of philosophy, and it is really a philosophy, not a religion, keeps millions of people under the heels of the exploiters and the robbers of the earth. Jesus Christ used violence only one time during his ministry, against the money changers. Jesus spoke and taught continually of what he called the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. He made it plain that it was God's intent that man would live on an earth devoid of sin, an earth without poverty, and an earth without disease and death. He taught the people that man's highest duty was to love God with all their hearts, minds, and souls, and to obey his commandments. And the second commandment was like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. How can a people obey the commands of Jesus Christ and at the same time allow a system of worldwide plunder and robbery to exist, which destroys their neighbor and makes him a debtor and a slave to the moneylender and the multinational conglomerates which control his government, kill his sons in foreign wars, and rob him of the fruits of his labor? The obvious answer is that they cannot. And that is why we find in the next verses of Revelation 18 that God calls upon his people not only to come out of mystery Babylon, but to destroy her. He tells them to come out, for her sins, her violations of God's laws, have reached unto heaven. And then in verse 6 of Revelation 18, God commands, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. No command here to his people to get ready to leave the earth in some sort of a secret rapture, now that mystery Babylon is ruling. No, that is false doctrine. That is part of the deception of Babylon herself. God's command is to reward her, destroy her, end her rule of sin upon the earth. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Yes, she glorifies herself. She tells the people how her system is responsible for the good life, that she has the best system on the earth, that if you will follow her, she will bring peace and safety to the earth and end the scourge of war. She does this while at the same time she secretly plans wars, destroys nations, robs the people, and promotes lust and sin. For the secret world rulers of Babylon thrive on sin and corruption. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. Now, my Christian brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is the angel of God giving God's command to his people. Does he say to turn away and not to get involved? Does he say that these things of the earth do not concern you, that you Christians have no responsibility to see justice and righteousness done in the earth? No, on the contrary, God Almighty here orders his people into battle against mystery Babylon, against the system which is corrupting and destroying the earth. Some have accused me of being quite harsh at times about ministers who teach the false doctrine of the secret rapture of the church, because they say these ministers are sincere. Well, some of them may be, but their doctrine is the exact opposite of God's Word. God's Word calls the Christians to battle, to strive for righteousness and justice in the land and in all the earth, to destroy mystery Babylon out of the earth. The doctrine of the secret rapture of the church is a call to inactivity, to cowardice, to retreat before the enemies of Christ. I wonder how many of you, dear Christian people, have ever realized the blasphemy there is against the sovereignty of God in that doctrine of the secret rapture, that teaching that Christ has power only to save a handful of people from the earth while the rest of his creation is consigned to the Antichrist and finally to a burning hell. No wonder our young people have no vision of the great and mighty power of the God of the Bible. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.